All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Thrones. Matt Datz, Tim Curry here, getting after a little midweek analysis pod. You listen to our instant reaction pod Sunday night, and now we go midweek. We have some time to take everything in, step away from Sunday night's happenings, and really make a good, quick analysis of big takeaways from episode two. So first of all, Curry, welcome back.
Datz, always good to be here.
Wow, we're sitting here looking at episode three right in the face here. Just think a little bit more about episode two before we get going to our preview pod here. But normally where we start, and we've started forever, is at the title of the episode. You know, these last two episodes, we haven't gotten that. That being said, we get it after the fact. So title of the episode, Curry.
So the title of the episode was A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, pretty obvious, referring to Brienne of Tarth, Sir Brienne of Tarth. Sir Brienne getting knighted by Jaime. That was kind of the big moment from the episode.
Yeah, a very heartwarming moment. Doesn't play too much in the plot line, except maybe completes a character arc or two. That being said, you know, them putting that title out before the episode might have, you know, raised some eyebrows. Where would our head have been at if we knew that beforehand?
I don't know. I think if we knew that beforehand, I think my first thought would have been about Jaime, especially.
Yes.
That's how week one ended with Jaime.
Yeah.
Preview, we knew it was going to be Jaime's trial.
He's like pretty much the most famous knight.
Yeah. So I think it would have been leading us towards Jaime, not towards Brienne.
So I don't know.
Or maybe Brienne through Jaime.
Exactly. But wouldn't have been too much harm. So we know the title of the next episode, and we'll get to that in the preview pod. But let's.
Is that official or just kind of implied?
Or like maybe that happening?
That's just kind of what people are referring it as.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll talk in the preview for sure. Check it out. But episode two, like we said, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. We talked a lot about it being a heartwarming episode, a lot of maybe farewells.
Mm-hmm.
There was some. There was about, I would say, three major plot developments. But just go to you here. Some more analysis.
So just some wrap up thoughts. So it was a major character episode.
Yes.
Some people love that. I love that. Some people don't. Some people watch it for the action, for the thrills. It wasn't a thrilling episode,
No. But
it was a character episode, and that's why it gets you emotionally invested in the characters. So that's why I really appreciated it. For the moments that the characters had with each other.
Exactly.
It was more the calm before the storm.
Exactly.
So, you know, we got a big storm coming this week. But
huge.
We kind of needed... We didn't maybe need all of that, but I think it was a good thing that they did.
It served its purpose,
that.
For sure. We put out a poll about, was this the best non-battle episode? Where were you at, Curry, on that?
It's tough to just have that question without other episodes directly to reference, but
yeah,
I mean, you think the Reigns of Castamere, the Red Wedding, that's probably up there.
Mm-hmm.
You think,
and you want to take yourself out of this
the
initial
Winds of Winter,
yeah.
So I would say it's definitely top three-ish. I don't know if I could say it's the best.
Public says 65% yes.
And we're, that's more, you know, recency bias
for sure. 11:42 p.m. East, that tweet goes out. And a healthy amount of votes there. Some people tweeted in, which we appreciate. I don't think you even have to qualify it as a non-battle episode. It was a masterpiece, automatic top five episode in the series, at least. That was Stephen Gallegos. So there was a lot of hype around it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
aside from the emotional investment of the characters, you know, there was some more purpose to the episode.
There was some minor plot movement here. I think the biggest endgame one, or next episode, I should say, not even endgame, is Bran and his disseminating of Night King information.
Yeah, his kind of revelation that he revealed to everyone else. So we don't know much about the Night King. He's very mysterious.
Yes. Doesn't talk.
Yeah, he's never said anything.
To us,
and
at least.
Part of the mystery was, what is his motivation? What's his deal? Like,
yes.
Why is he doing all this? What does he want?
Yes.
And Bran revealed a little bit of that. He said, you know, he'll come for me. He's come for previous Three-Eyed Ravens.
Yes.
He wants to have a permanent long night, you know, permanent winter, and erase the memory of the world, and that is Bran, basically.
Yeah.
So.
And Sam Tarly just kind of chimes in, like, you're right.
He's kind of piecing it together.
Yeah, he's piecemealing for sure.
Sam and Bran have spent enough time together that
Bran
can Sam can translate the weirdness of Bran
to
the normal
people.
Yes, he's like
the common... But that being said, I mean, it is... That a minor complaint, and we love Thrones. Obviously, we love everything about it. But minor complaint, you know, that battle planning little portion could have been everything. It could have been 20 minutes. It could have been so much more. I feel like just major characters at the table, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, they really probably should have spent more time on
and this
battle
is
planning. Even just, you know, Thrones has always been realistic with those kind of things, with real world things.
Yes.
Aside from, you know, the fantasy part. But yeah, they should have said, all right, you know, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're up against. Like
giants.
And we know that they know what they're up against. They know they have Valyrian steel, they have Dragonglass, and we saw, you know, kind of a montage of Dragonglass booby traps and whatnot, but I still feel like they don't really know what is coming and they don't know what they're going to do about it.
Like, and
this isn't a normal war.
Exactly. And it can be said that, like, yes, like, you know, it probably the Dothraki have been talked to about it and things like that, but it would have been, I feel like it would have been awesome to see. I mean, we talk about Jaime comes up and says, I hear you're controlling the left flank, to commanding the left flank to Brienne. Like, it would have been cool to see that, that whole battle planning going on.
Mm-hmm.
We got a little bit of it, a little taste, but it was mostly just that Brienne reveal. The dragon thing is it's kind of hanging out there.
Yeah. So they didn't talk about
how
the Night King having
this?
A dragon at all, which should be like number one on your list of, you know, things that are going to kill us.
Yeah.
The Night King's dragon.
And, like, we always talk about, like, people who know things, people who, you know, if they're playing on the same deck of cards. We know Tormund saw it. We know Beric saw it. You know, obviously, John, well, he heard it from Bran.
Yeah. Bran has seen it in his visions, and he kind of told everyone about it
in the first 5 minutes of the
season without much attention being paid to it. They kind of passed over it.
It did get passed over, and you would think with, you know, we talked about this a little bit, but with Dany being the mother of dragons and those are her kids, like, there should have been way more reaction to what did you say? Like, he's got one of my dragons.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's overlooked. I don't think they'll act. I would be surprised if they act surprised by it, because that would just be a huge mistake.
I think Daenerys can have, like, an emotional reaction to it. Maybe not surprised, but I think it'll be appropriate for her to have, like, in disbelief kind of action, but a reaction. But everyone else, they should know this is coming.
They should know. Everyone
based
should
on
know. Does Jaime Lannister know that the Night King's riding in on a dragon? Like, I hope
he should,
does. Yeah. But we don't know.
That should have been number one on your pre-battle bulletin board. Night King on the dragon, heads up.
And listen, like, we've seen Cersei and
Cersei and Qyburn, they plan to fight dragons.
They're anti-aircraft. Yeah.
Does Winterfell have a plan to fight dragons other than their own two dragons? But even then, it's like, all right, we lost one dragon easily.
Yes.
We could lose. If we lose two more, it's over. So.
Exactly. If we lose one more, it's undead.
Yeah.
You know, we're 2-on-1 here.
Yep.
So battle planning, I would say, would be the biggest disappointment from last episode. Just because, especially with all those characters around the table.
All those minds who've been through battles.
Yeah, we got Tyrion paying homage to their previous battles later in the episode. But, the crux of it is, Jon says, a lot of times they're just saying, like, we're all going to die. Jon says, there's another way, the Night King, if we get him. And Jaime says, if mm-hmm. he'll never expose himself, that's the case. And that's where
Bran says, you know, he'll come for me.
Yeah, like, Bran in the corner.
Bran is bait.
Yeah, and Theon steps up. I mean, it was a little bit like helter-skelter. Theon's like, me and the Ironborn, who he just beat the hell out of the Ironborn leader three episodes ago.
Yeah.
Or two episodes ago. So, like, we don't have any real insight into, like, this huge game plan. We have insight into, like, how the people spent their last night. But, you know, for the biggest battle in cinematic history, I feel like we were owed a little more insight. So that's one qualm. But the other plot movements, Sansa, Daenerys, obviously a little rivalry, but another cut off.
We had Sansa standing up for the North. Daenerys, you know, she was kind of
flat-footed.
Yeah, she went in trying to, you know, extend the olive branch a little bit, and Sansa, she took it, but then she also was like, what about the North?
So. Exactly. But that got cut off by Theon coming back, so that's a cutoff. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest cutoff was late
in the episode. Which we didn't get to see what their full reaction would be to sharing that information, Jon sharing it with Daenerys. She definitely was questioning him on it because...
Which I like.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's normal. She questioned... No one else questions Bran. Like, she said, you know, yeah, your brother and your best friend.
He saw it?
Like,
what do you mean he saw it?
Yeah, so she questions him, and he's like, look, it's true, and... They both don't know what to feel about it. So that's going to be key moving forward after the battle. I don't think, I mean, we'll discuss it a little more in the preview, but I don't think that's going to be something that affects the battle. Some people are saying, oh, like, she's going to let him die or something like that. Like,
yeah, a lot of people said, I think there's a legit chance that, you know, will she be less apt to make a play for him or for Sam or for... Bran, yeah. You know, because those are the two people who know. Some people legit think that you know her mindset going into this might be a little different because of that. I don't see that too much per se, especially because we haven't gotten enough on screen reaction because of it or of it. But yeah, that got cut off as well. So there was a lot of other happenings. We have our goat and word of the week. But yeah, I think those are the three big takeaways and big plot movements. Would you say?
Yes, I agree that you nailed it right there. Those were the three biggest
advancements. Yeah, advancements of
from that
potential
episode.
Plots for sure. So all good. Let's get to goat and woat, and then some final takeaways. We'll shut it down.
So yeah, so at right after GOT is our Twitter. You know, all week we're posting stuff, and after every episode we have our goat of the week poll, greatest of all time of the week, and our woat of the week, worst of all time. So. For Goat of the Week, our nominees were Ser Brienne of Tarth, Arya Stark, Jaime Lannister, and Tormund Giantsbane. So, Brienne, fantastic episode, knighted by Jaime, really completed her character arc, kind of emotional. Arya, she was a badass with throwing the spearheads in front of Gendry.
One night.
She later had sex with Gendry.
Yes.
She had a moment with the Hound as well. I mean, good episode for Arya. Last two, Jaime and Tormund. Jaime, he survived his trial. He was welcomed into the North.
Nobly, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
He's doing the noble thing here.
He knighted Brienne. Mm-hmm. Big moment for the two of them. Kind of the most the biggest act of love that he's shown her.
Absolutely.
And Tormund, of course, also has a thing for Brienne, and he kind of spurred that knighting to happen. He
Absolutely.
Said, "No, you're not a knight." Like. Fuck tradition, like
exactly.
I would knight you, and then Jaime did. So, and he also told the hilarious story of how he got the name Giantsbane. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter. Hilarious story for Tormund.
Fantastic. So, who came on top?
So we had over 1,000 votes, and
over 1,000 votes. Let's just note that, man. That's legit sample size.
53% was Ser Brienne of Tarth.
And
well deserved.
Got the title of the episode about her too. You know, could you question were now, 4 episodes left, and we're getting pretty much a episode that's heavy on Brienne of Tarth. Like, some people could have their qualms with that.
Well, like you said, we only have 4 episodes left. How many of them are going to include Brienne of Tarth at all?
Oh, we will talk. We will discuss in the preview for sure. But I think even the director said, you know, this was like some goodbyes to characters
that he
felt like they needed to do. Ser Brienne, we're happy for you. Tip the cap.
I think that's probably her first goat since we've been doing this.
It's got to be goat. It's got to be first goat, I believe, which is telling, but continue on.
So for our woat of the week, worst of all time of the week poll, we had – now, we were a little short on woats because
– cupcake episode.
Yeah, like we said, it was a feel-good episode. There wasn't a lot of action, so there weren't a lot of winners and losers, but – We picked out three, and then we had, offer in your replies, to which we didn't really get much.
Because I think it's obvious.
Yeah, the three main ones we had were Tyrion Lannister, Cersei Lannister, who wasn't even in the episode, and Daenerys Targaryen. So this poll had just over 400 votes, and by a two-thirds vote, Daenerys Targaryen with 67% was the word of the week.
Got it. And in the rewatch, I want to note that, I mean, she did kind of get... We talked about how, Sansa kind of not slapped around a little bit, but did bite back at her when she's not used to that. She was playing all cushy-cushy, mm-hmm. too. And then, obviously, she finds out the big bomb for sure. You know, this could be a question of her rightfulness to the heir. But also, even early in the episode, with Jaime on the rewatch, I'm sitting there and make the
Daenerys, if it was up to Daenerys, she would have. If it was up to Daenerys, she would have executed him.
Yeah. So she gets Trump there. You know, and she almost like dishes it to John, like, yo, John, like, what do you say? What does the Warden of the North say?
He was, I don't know if you noticed that earlier on the episode, their interactions, and even during the battle planning, he's ice cold to her because he knows about this Targaryen thing. Like, yes. He doesn't know how to respond to her. So
exactly.
He just shook up.
He just says kind of more in the north. He just says kind of poo-poos it, but he doesn't have a strong feel either way. And then
yes,
back. He says he says to Sansa, I want to fight for Winterfell.
I want to fight for Winterfell.
Exactly.
Doesn't fight for to Daenerys, who he previously pledged his sword to.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, "I want to fight."
And this is right
Winterfell.
Off the back of her and Sansa's talk about the double, and then we obviously have the end there. So I think it's just she was the only potential word of the week.
Yeah.
For sure. And then, do we do quote of the week or no?
No, we do not have a quote of the week.
Hey, we'll get one this week.
We'll get one this week.
Maybe we'll be by the Night King. Night King speak this up by the Night King. Night King speak this upcoming week or no?
No.
I know a lot of people would think he does speak. But no, I did want to note that Daenerys, you know, wasn't just the lineage and the Sansa sit down. She's getting slighted across the board. And where will that play going forward? I don't know, but I think it's important to note that it's not like she's. And she said, I'm a world's away fighting Jon Snow's war. At what point, you know, is it when another dragon goes down when she realizes, like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, I need to get on the throne or, you know, maybe something like that. We'll see. But all in all, Carl, you love the episode.
Yeah. All in all, I thought it was perfect for the purpose that it served. And that was not to be an action episode because we're getting that this week.
82 minutes. It was 58 minutes last week.
It was to hype us up to prepare us for what's coming. You know, it was a proper send off for so many possible characters.
Yes.
So I enjoyed it.
Good. Episode 2, we'll put a bow on it there. Really liked it. You know, top three non-battle episodes it will go down in history as. And we appreciate everyone listening. Reaction. Right after GOT Twitter, listen to us right after Thrones on Sunday night. And check out the preview pod because we'll be hitting that hard for sure. So for Tim Curry, this is Matt Datz. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you again right after Thrones.